Before we start today's show, we want to share some exciting news from the Radiotopia family. Normal Gossip is back for its sixth season. If you've ever found yourself eavesdropping on strangers' juicy conversations and maybe wanting to chime in too, this show is for you. On Normal Gossip, host Kelsey McKinney shares the juiciest gossip sent in by listeners all around the world, then brings in a special guest to weigh in on the actions within the story. The stories are everything from petty to bizarre to downright strange. Fun fact, you might recognize a few of this season's guests from the Radiotopia universe. So check it out. New episodes start April 17th. Listen to Normal Gossip wherever you get your podcasts. This episode of Radio Diaries is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Radiotopia.
From PRX's Radiotopia, this is Radio Diaries. I'm Joe Richman. I've always been fascinated by the idea of a parallel universe. That somewhere out there, someone is living the same life you are. Except that because it's a parallel universe, some things are backwards. Almost the opposite. Many years ago, I had a chance to meet two women who lived what seemed like parallel lives. Daisy Anderson and Alberta Martin were both in their 90s when I interviewed them. Both had grown up poor, children of sharecroppers in the South, Daisy in Tennessee, Alberta in Alabama. Both women got married in their early 20s to husbands who were near 80, and both those husbands had served in the Civil War, except on opposite sides. Daisy Anderson was black. Her husband was a slave who escaped and joined the Union Army. Alberta Martin was white. Her husband fought on the Confederate side. Daisy and Alberta weren't alive during the Civil War, but they married into history. Today on the show, The Last Civil War Widows.
I'm Daisy Anderson. I'm 96 and a half years old, and I'm the last widow of the Union soldiers.
My name is Alberta Martin, and I was born in 1906, the 4th day of December. I'm the last Confederate widow living, as far as anybody knows.
I'd like to tell you about my childhood in those days. My folks didn't have nothing. Most usually, there's just one room. All of us cook and eat and sleep in the same room. The house is just shacks.
We rambled around from one house to the other when I was growing up. We'd farm on that side of the road one year. Next year, we'd move back over on the other side of the road and farm.
Yeah, I had to pick that cotton by hand. Pull it, pick that cotton and put it in them sacks, and it was something terrible. And you worked for a dollar a day then, man.
Cooking oil was about 25 cents a gallon. Meat, about 5 cents a pound. I remember we didn't have no clothes hardly to wear. Lord, I've seen some hard times in my life.
We were the same as slaves. The only thing is they just didn't call it slavery. You know, it's a funny thing. I was 21, and the preacher said, "Miss Daisy, I got an old man here. He come to church every Sunday. He's wealthy, too. He come from Nebraska," and said, "I'd like to have you to meet him tomorrow." And Robert Anderson come into church and sat down one seat behind me, and I looked around and seen he had hair all over his face and long whiskers down on the chin. Oh, my God, he looked like a wild man. And his white hair all over his head, and I got started sneaking and laughing. I laughed all while I was in church. Just laughed.
Well, I was about 19 years old. It was late in the fall, kindly. And you know, there wasn't no farming going on right then. Everything, crops are laid by. And this old man lived up a little piece above our house. And we met as long as he'd go along the road. And he just talked a little bit and went on. Maybe he stopped, say a word or two when he come on back.
He talked to me that whole afternoon, tell me all about his life and him being a slave and all that kind of stuff. And when I got through talking to him and he got through talking to me, I found out that I didn't have nothing to laugh at. The laugh was on me. I'm the one that was ignorant. But I was just 21. He was 79.
I know he was well on in his 80s. I couldn't exactly tell you how old he was. I don't reckon he really knew how old he was. And first and last then, he asked me if I'd marry him. And I told him I would. He went in the house and asked my daddy if he could have me, and asked her to feed me. So we got married 10th day of December, 1927.
I got him to shave that hair off his face and cut his hair. And he cut them whiskers off except for just a little bit of goatee. And so for 30 days he asked me if I would marry him, and I told him, sure. First night after we got married, we went down to stay all night with his brother. They had a nice big bed, you know. My husband, he got in the bed first. He told me to come on, honey. I sat there for a couple hours and I wouldn't go to bed. So he got up out of that bed and he took that thing that I had on and took it off of me like this. And he said, now you come on and get in the bed. He hadn't make me get in the bed that time, but after that, I always beat him in the bed. He sang to me at night. I'd sit on the floor and put my hands on each side of his knees like this, you know. He could sing too.
I called him Mr. Martin. As long as he lived, I never did call him by his name. I don't know. I just talked to say Mr. and Mrs. when I was growing up. Love him. Well, I don't know. It ain't the same love that you got for a young man, if that's what you asked him. He slept on one bed, me on the other. I don't know, just almost like living with your daddy or some of your folks or something most of the time. People, when they get old like that, they don't require kissing and hugging and necking and first one thing or another. The old saying is, better to be an old man's darling than a young man's slave.
This is an old photograph. In that house, the girl didn't have a house home, never had nothing in my life, and then take me into a home like that. Mm-mm. Decorate that house for me just like a dollhouse. This here back in here, that was a waterworks, had pipes, and made the house modern. You see how it looked, don't you? That's me and him right there standing in front of it. They said I just married him for his money. His relatives said that too. But that's the reason they wanted to get married to me, wanted to help me. You want to make my life better. I'm proud. I'm proud because my husband escaped from being a slave to join the service, and he wanted to be free. That's what he wanted to do. And you're going to have a home of your own and kids of your own, and he didn't want no more slavery. He wanted to be a free man.
That's a little picture, all the picture I got of him. Yeah, he was a nice-looking man. We didn't live together very long, though. I don't know, something around about 5 years, right at it. Like he died in 1932. He never did talk about his life in the war. But the only thing he ever told me was they had it rough, you know, they didn't have nothing to eat. And when it rained, they'd have to sleep in the mud and water. If I had it to go over, though, I'd sure have a history. I'd asked him to explain his whole life to me if I could.
We was married about 8 years. It's been a long time ago, but it seemed like it's just yesterday. Every once in a while, I dream about him now, and it's a beautiful dreams that I sometimes he just show up, and that's all. to show up. And I wake up and it's not true.
Daisy Anderson's husband died in 1930, and she soon lost most of their money in the Depression. She moved to Colorado and found work picking potatoes and cleaning houses. She never married again. When Alberta Martin's Confederate husband died in 1932, she was left to take care of their son on her own. 8 weeks later, she decided to marry again. And as it turns out, she was able to keep the Martin name. She married her late husband's grandson from a previous marriage. I'll let that sink in for a minute. There was just a 2-year age difference this time around. Alberta Martin often complained that while she lived with her first husband for just 5 years, her second husband was with her for 50, but nobody ever wanted to hear about him. 130-some years after their husbands fought on opposite sides of the Civil War, Daisy Anderson and Alberta Martin did finally get a chance to meet.
Shoulder, arm!
At a Memorial Day ceremony in Gettysburg, surrounded by photographers and TV cameras, Daisy and Alberta exchanged gifts and a kiss on the cheek.
I sure glad to meet you. I'm sure glad to meet you too. I've heard lots about you. Well, I don't care about being laced with or no. It don't give me the big head or nothing. But it's good to know, you know, that somebody still lives to tell the tale all that I know about it.
It means an awful lot to me to be the last one. But I really believe that my time is coming pretty soon now. Won't be none of us left.
Daisy Anderson died at the age of 97, not long after I interviewed her. Alberta Martin died a few years later in 2004. She was also 97. A third woman, Gertrude Janeway, died at the age of 93, and together, they were the last living Civil War widows. This story was produced by me, Joe Richman, and edited by Deborah George and Ben Shapiro. The Radio Diaries podcast is produced by Nellie Gillis and Sarah Kate Kramer. We're a proud member of Radiotopia from PRX, a collective of 16 incredible podcasts. I'm Joe Richman of Radio Diaries. Thanks for listening.
Radiotopia.